We're here in the kind of the cove, like maybe a valley, here in Lakeside, California. It's a place called, we're staying in a place called Elkhorn. Mother says Elkhorn, so I gotta go. Anyway, it's good to talk with you, and it's good to be able to share some thoughts with you, to be able to fix things to where we can talk with you, and David and Brother Taylor and Brother Carter, all those that work together for us. They've done this so many times, and it has been such a privilege. The Lord has blessed us since we've been gone. We've traveled to quite a lot of places. Down in Tucson, Arizona. The Lord is visiting with us, and He has dealt with us since we've been gone. I guess, so far as I know, we will probably be headed back in that direction today. Probably leave here at Lakeside and go back toward Tucson, Arizona, back toward home. You just pray that God will guide us and tell us what to do. There's always a purpose in everything that a person does when they follow God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to be sons of God. And we are already beloved sons of God, as John has said. And we're just tabernacling in this little body until the day that God tells us that's enough. But during the time that we're here in this human body, tabernacling in this body, then we need to be sure that we spend our time with Christ. Our thoughts should be stayed upon Christ Jesus. Our endeavor should be to develop every thought to bring it into subjection to the obedience of Christ, knowing that the destiny of all humanity is going to be a devastating thing unless Christ is in the arrangement. So without respect to person God gives, and without respect to person God takes, I just noticed a couple of tracts here that my wife laid out. It's some literature from my art department and some work of Brother Griffin and the others. And it's really quite a contrast because she laid out two tracts here, and I don't think she was aware of what she was doing, just laying them out perhaps to give them to someone. But I noticed that on one of them it says, all hope gone. And then immediately as I picked up the other one and looked at it, I noticed the title is, all that I have. And I thought, my, that is just so unreal that one person in their life, all hope will be completely gone to never, never be reinstated in life again. And then to another person, God will have given them all that He has that they might enjoy life throughout eternity. So then, as precious children in the Lord, we exhort you that you think, stop and think. It is so easy to be in the flesh and revel in the flesh and do the things of the flesh and enjoy life in the flesh. But it is so horrible when you consider the end of that, when it strikes like a natter. And it is so wonderful to consider the fact that there is an end, as the Bible teaches, to the things of God, and that the end of that is all that I have. God said, though you've been as a prodigal, because you've received me, because you have come to me, because you've heard the voice of the shepherd, then I will give you all that I have. Can you imagine what all God has? When we say gates of pearls and streets of gold, when we think about the wonderful, wonderful power and glory of His majesty and eternal life, eternal youth, happiness and strength, riches and splendor, wisdom and magnificence. So when you think about that and then you think of the devastation of being turned into a lake of fire, and being tormented and being in pain and being in misery and being separated from life eternally, that is such a great difference. The Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, seeing Abraham and seeing Lazarus afar off, as Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and cried, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus and let him dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, I cannot do that. In your lifetime you had the good things, and Lazarus likewise the bad. Now Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides that, there's a great gulf that is between us and we that are here cannot pass from here down to there. And he that are there cannot pass from there up to here. And so then when you see this great difference between these two lives, we come to realize that in this world today, there are hundreds and millions and even billions of people that are alive on the earth today, and that they are going two separate ways. And that in so doing, there is a people that have been born again, or the potential of their life is a new birth. And these people are God people. And though their life is within the body that's referred to as the creature or the worm, yet there's two different potentialities of life, and one is a preordained foreordination of God from the foundation of the world to go through the metamorphosis like the butterfly, that it might come through Calvary, and that it might become buoyant as a heavenly creature. The other one is to continue as a worm, that it, the darkness, it'll go into the hole, or we say into the pit. So with this life, knowing that this life is in there, that through the new birth, we're already children of God, and we already have these eternal riches. We already have the kingdom of God. We already have this faith and hope within us, whereas we have all that he has. And the other one does not have any hope, but abideth within the intellectual darkness, for the Bible said the ignorance within them hath blinded them, that the eyes of their understanding should not be enlightened, that they should never comprehend the height, nor the depths, nor the width, nor the length of this great wonderful light of God and this blessing of God. The Bible said the wicked shall never see life. So when we realize that Jesus is the Prince of Life and that his mission in the world was for one thing, and that is that you and I might have life of that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing, even as David of old said, my cup runneth over. Then when we realize this, then we choose for our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The blessings of the Lord is with us. The blessing of the Lord is upon you because you are his children. And God loves you enough that he said, I am engraved to you in the palms of my hands, and I'll never forget you. Though a mother may forsake her suckling babe, I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can truthfully say, even in the time of our desperation, that God is our help. He's a present help in the time of need. So when we talk to you and exhort you about these things, it is because we love you. It is because God loves you. And Sister Betty, she loves you. And we're trying to work together to do what we can. We've been able to give out some literature out here to the different places, and kind of thinking over numbers of places that we preached up and down the California coast, and meeting different people, giving us a chance to get just a little break and get by ourselves to where God can talk with us, where we can learn a little more about the present state of affairs, is how to better evangelize the world, and that we have a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We were well pleased with those things that were taking place back home when we left. Everything was intact, real good. The brethren, the sisters had a real good spirit, a real good attitude. They were active for God, and were fully energetic toward Christ and his goal. And it's wonderful to feel that way and to know that, because when you have the responsibility of winning souls the way that I do, and you have a burden upon your shoulders for the whole world, it's a crushing thing unless you can find people, even as Jesus did did in his day to help him carry the load and be concerned about souls. Just remember this one thing this morning, the little exhortation, and that is that the reward is great, the loss is devastating. So remember that you are already born again when you have your new birth and Christ is within you, the hope of that eternal bliss and glory that you're going to have. You're not going to lose it. Not one will be lost. He's able to keep every one of you, and his grace is sufficient. And where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And so then he is able to keep you. He will keep you if you will make the effort. But don't get careless. Don't get in the flesh. Being in the flesh means a state of mind as to the things of the world. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. You'll never get anything from God that way. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said that this revelation of the mystery that's been hid from the beginning of the world is now made known to all men for the obedience of the faith. And he said, the things of God knoweth no man, and they will not come to a man's spirit. And he said, this great mystery is the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a hidden mystery. This mystery which is being revealed, for now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of Almighty God, even in the heavenly places. For this wisdom, it is said, is higher above our understanding than the heavens is the earth. Now, when you hear people around you laughing and going off, and they seem to be filled with the joys and jubilance of the world, Solomon said, the laughter of fools is like thorns crackling under a pot. Yesterday we were somewhere eating a little lunch, and the people were just laughing and frolicking and going on until it was so vexing. And I told Betty, I said, you know, Betty, it sounds like thorns crackling under the pot in the fire. But the Bible said, right now you travail, right now you're laboring, right now you are not doing those things because you do not laugh with the world. But when the child is born, then there's no more remembrance of the travail because the child is born. And the joy and jubilance is that you have the child. And everybody wants to see the child. And the main thing is we travail till Christ be formed within you. So then you are our labor in the Lord. And we're trying to bring forth the man-child within your heart, which is the mind of Christ, and take you out of the mind of the world. For the world is a mind within you, and the kingdom of God is a mind within you, depending on which one you have. So when you trade the less for the better as to receive Christ, then that means that you are blessed with all natural things and spiritual things. The Bible said, my God shall supply all of your riches, all of your blessings, and all of those things as to riches according to his riches and glory. And he would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospered. And God wants to give you everything, even the desire of your heart. And if you delight yourself in him, he will do it. He'll make you rich and add no sorrow. For godliness is profitable for this life and the world to come. So this morning, just remember that you have God and that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a present help in the time of need. And that when you have opportunity to witness for God, give out a little piece of literature, do something for Christ. Compel somebody to come to the house of God. And wherever you go, traveling abroad, always make it your business to evangelize and make full proof of your ministry for Christ as a member of the body. Do the work of an evangelist, Paul said. And like Paul said concerning Timothy, be concerned about the things of God. Don't ever lose your vision, because when you lose your vision, then you perish. Always find yourself a vision. Find yourself something to do for Christ. Always do something for God. Don't ever waste your time. Don't waste your thoughts. Don't waste your life. Because if you do, then that means that it's going to be bad at the end. But I praise the Lord for you, and I praise God for your patience, and I trust that you're listening to the things we're saying this morning. You're giving the more earnest heed to them. Now the Bible said, and take heed how that you hear them, because you're going to need them. And Sister Betty says she picked up the money order that you gave her, and it was so well needed. She appreciated it so much, and I certainly do. I hadn't desired it of you, hadn't even thought it of you, but it was a pleasant surprise to know that you had considered us out here in this area. A long time since we've been out into California. We've been here numbers of times, but it's been a long time since we've been here as to the last time. And we still got a long journey home. It's a long, long drive, but Sister Betty has done real well in her efforts. My little efforts hasn't been much, but anyway, we're still making an effort to try to reach somebody and do something for God. Now, I guess I better stop here somewhere, because we're going to have to get on the road and start moving. And I know that I can't keep holding you there. You've got things to do also. But I ask you, as parents in the Lord, you that are old enough there, parents that lay up for the children, be concerned about the things of God. And remember, this life is very short, and it is terminal. Don't ever get careless. Always be diligent. Be vigilant toward God, and always aware that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And don't give place to him, not even for 1 second. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Meditate in the laws of God day and night. Ask God to give you a song in your heart, making melody in your heart to Christ, that you might be strong in the Lord and might be inspirational to people toward Christ. Not inspirational toward the things of the world, but toward Christ. For every man, Paul said, shall receive a reward according to the labor of his body. And whatever you do for God, then there's going to be a reward. And the reward is so great, and now's the opportunity. Once you're gone, then it's going to be sad. Let me say this in closing. This generation that is so awful, it is such a hideous generation and such an awesome thing. Until I was thinking yesterday, what will they do when they go to die? How horrible it will be to know that they're stepping out into eternity, eternal doom and damnation and darkness, to never be revived again in life, to never see light again. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless all of those that are parents in the Lord. Bless the children of God, and bless those that are leaders there that are standing with us. Now the Bible said, quit like a man, that's when the job is done, and hold fast to the end. Don't waver, don't cast away your faith, for that great recompense of reward. May God bless you. I covet your prayers. Pray that we'll be saved, and we'll pray always that you'll continue to be saved. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Let me pray with you just as we go to close. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children and the Lord. Though they have 10,000 instructors, yet, Lord, you said they have one father in the gospel. Even as Paul said, I've begotten them in the gospel for your sake. And as dear children, sons, and daughters of the Lord, Father, we pray for them that they should be blessed. I know they will be blessed, for you said, whoever I bless, you will bless. And I bless them in the name of the Lord, that they should be blessed here in this world with health and happiness. Lord, with their riches here that you give them, God, without sorrow, and dear wonderful God, that they should be blessed eternally in the world to come. Bless their little ones. Watch over all of my little ones, Heavenly Father. Keep them safe in school. Bless our teachers. Father, bless the substance of the saints. Bless little Bethlehem, and let it be a testimony around the world. I ask you to heal the sick bodies, knowing that you are a healer and that it's your will to heal and to save, Father, that it's not your will that any should perish, not even the wicked, that they should come to repentance and have everlasting life, O God. And I pray this morning that you'd heal the sick bodies. Help them to use their faith, realizing that all that you have given them in Calvary and can do no more, and it's up to them to believe, Father, and to keep their heart conditioned to where they can believe. I ask you to do this for me in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.